City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Hi there. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and it's Wednesday, December 13th. I'm Mary Van Sickle, and this is a Bismarck edition of City Current, so that means Jason Tomonic is here, Assistant City Administrator, and our special guest, Chief Dan Donlan.
Hi, thank you. Welcome.
Chief of Police, thanks for being here today.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
All right, well, we're here in the morning after a City Commission meeting once again. It was a long meeting last night. You had a lot going on.
A lot to cover.
I'm going to mix up the order a little bit of what happened last night so that we can kind of keep the general discussion for all of us at the end. But a couple of little things last night, or shouldn't call them little things, they're kind of major things. One of the things that came kind of to a close last night was the MPO's bike and pedestrian study was presented to the Bismarck City Commission last night.
Yes. Peggy Harder with Stantec provided a pretty thorough summary of the findings and the recommendations in the study. A little bit of public comment relating to some of the unpaved trails in our network, but that wasn't necessarily the focus of the study. They're looking at more transportation-related issues. So
yeah, and this is, again, kind of the final step we saw go in front of the Mandan City Commission. Yep. And now it sits as a study to be used as new projects are proposed for the community, road projects and whatnot.
Correct.
So this element can be included in those new projects.
A planning tool for long-range transportation, future transportation needs, and thinking about other means of moving around the community beyond just a vehicle, a car.
A couple of planning items last night. Sattler's Edition.
Sattler's 10th Edition.
My goodness.
Yep. So that's the next phase of primarily single-family housing. And what we're talking about is the northeast edge of our community, that Sunrise Elementary neighborhood.
Okay.
So Rob Sattler, he's done a very nice job of putting together a
continued growth,
very robust neighborhood. This is, of course, the 10th phase, and there's quite likely going to be more in the future, too.
And another piece from the planning department last night was KMK Estates. That was a move to change zoning to move forward and close some of these donut holes that have been existing.
Yeah, KMK Estates was originally platted, I think, either the late 60s or early 70s. And at the time, it was very much rural. City limits ended even south of Century Avenue at that point. So,
and we're talking about North Washington.
North Washington area. Street, just off the west side of North Washington, the streets of Colt, Arabian, Buckskin, those are the neighborhoods or the streets around KMK Estates. And the request we saw last night was taking a large lot that's currently zoned for single family and converting the zoning to single and two family. So really what it means is the potential for twin homes.
And this is just the first step.
This is the first step. The developer will still have to go through the process to plat the land, in other words, subdivide it into those lots and create the individual pieces. So there won't be any construction immediately, but certainly some more steps for the developer along the way.
Continue to watch that as it develops, One more miscellaneous item last night was a new liquor license was established for the city of Bismarck.
A brand new license.
Yes.
First time in probably 4 or 5 years that we've created a new license. This is a Class S. We just go in alphabetical order. But it's unique because really what it offers is the opportunity for an arcade. We had a gentleman that approached our office and said that he was curious about creating an arcade atmosphere.
An adult
arcade, so you can have beer at this site and then play all sorts of video games.
But you still need to be 21 to be on the premise.
Yep, as long as beer is being served, it would have to be 21 and up.
So again, another project that got approval from the city to move forward, and we'll watch it as it moves forward.
No guarantees. Of course, he's got a few more steps to work through. He would have to get a license from the state as well and some of these other things. But we can definitely keep that one on the radar as it moves forward.
Yeah. Well, a major topic last night was came first from Renee Mock, your director of public health, report on the mayor's Gold Star Community Task Force.
Right.
And that has to do primarily with the opioid epidemic.
Behavioral health, addiction, mental health, all of
public
those
safety.
Things. Public safety.
Right.
They're all wrapped up into the broad topic of the mayor's Gold Star Community Task Force. And that's the mayors of all three communities, Mandan, Bismarck, and Lincoln. So it's definitely a very cooperative effort going on in the community.
Yeah. Well, Renee had a pretty detailed report, and one of the things that she talked about was the grant that they applied for and received in conjunction with Heartview, I believe, came forward on that. And the grant monies have been used, and they were used in the most part for Narcan supplies for the community and some training as well.
Purchase and procurement and training. And the initial intent was to get Narcan and the training in the hands of first responders throughout Bismarck, Mandan, Burley, Morton, Lincoln, and those areas.
And herein is our chief of police can definitely speak to that. I do believe we have a picture of the Narcan that we could possibly pop up here too. Sorry for our radio listeners, but we just wanted to kind of give you a visual on that Narcan and see what that product looks like. And it's basically a nasal
spray? It's a nasal spray that the officers are carrying. And as Jason also stated, it's going out to the fire departments as well in the Bismarck, Mandan, Burley, Morton area. It's the first responders. They're going to be the first on the scene. And we have utilized way too many of them already just since October. But thank God that we had them because we were able to save nine individuals, I think, just so far.
That's just between the end of October and the end of November. I think it was 15 doses and nine lives saved or something along those lines.
And it's just a quick nasal spray that they can put in when the person has basically stopped breathing. And it's just it interrupts those receptors where the opioids have connected, you know, and it interrupts that to stop that overdose.
And Renee's department, Public Health, Bismarck Burley Public Health, they're out there training. So when they provide training for the first responders, I see they also went to the schools and they're doing training in the schools as well.
Yep. And they've also reached out to some of the athletic coaches to try and recognize signs of when there may be some dependency issues. And they're relating pain relievers with athletes, you know, if they get injured. And so they're trying to help the coaches recognize when they should be aware of these things as well.
It's there just was proper management of the opioids and the painkillers that are being given out, rightly so, and need to be used, but need to be used appropriately and monitored.
Absolutely. There was a good article in the Tribune today, a front page picture about training going on in the schools. And then later in the article, it had a graph that showed the amount of, or the number of times just since the end of October that Narcan has been administered. And that was really interesting to see the numbers there. And that those numbers did not even include the metro area ambulance,
correct,
as well as the hospitals.
The hospitals themselves. Yeah. And I've talked to a couple of the ER doctors, and they are seeing this multiple times weekly, if not almost daily. They're seeing patients come in overdose states.
Yeah, I think we have a picture of that graph that we could bring up, and it really is dramatic, and it shows not only the frequency, but it also shows who has administered this. So this was an interesting piece, and I think Renee used this in her presentation
last night as well.
So, again, excluding ambulance services and the hospitals, this is just first responders, Bismarck Police, Bismarck Fire, and Morton County Sheriff Departments reporting this.
Maybe one thing to mention for those that aren't able to see the graphic, you'll notice it's not just one gender. It's male and female, and there's a broad range of ages that are being touched by this. So it's not just one small demographic within our community. This is a pretty broad scope that we're experiencing here.
And this knows no socioeconomic boundaries. It crosses all over our community and the communities across the country. And one thing about the numbers, we're talking 15, you know, doses and nine people, but these are human beings. These are moms, dads, sons, daughters, brothers and sisters who are, nobody wants to almost go into an overdose, you know, or be on these drugs.
Right.
So we need to make sure we have available treatment for them as well to get them that help to work through that addiction.
And like you say, I mean, this is affecting everyone.
Absolutely.
And it's affecting all of us in the community because in one way or another, we are paying for this. I read an article just yesterday about how the foster care system is getting just hit very hard with children who are coming out of homes where parents were addicts and trying to deal with their addictions.
Absolutely. Like so I said, they're moms and dads and brothers and sisters. This has a ripple effect through families and friends that unless you sit and watch this and know people that go through this, it's horrific. And we need to reach out and provide as much assistance as we can for the younger generations that are exposed to this as well.
And the Narcan and the availability now that we have with this through that grant is just it's a Band-Aid in a way. I mean, it's taking care of the overdose situation, but it's not really dealing with the addiction. So it'll be interesting, and we'll be, I know you're part of that Gold Star Community Task Force, mm-hmm. as are you, Jason.
Yes.
So it's, boy, what a major task in front of you to yeah. try and deal with this. And it's going on around the country. It's not mm-hmm. just Bismarck Band-Aid.
Yeah, that's right. I would like to say that there is a very high number of community partners that are part of this Gold Star Community Task Force. This is by no means just led by local government. Mm-hmm. There's private sector, there's healthcare. I mean, the list goes on and on. So hopefully we can get our arms around it. There's each time we meet quarterly, and then there's sub-meetings as well. But each time we've met, the group gets larger and larger because the word is getting out there, and more of these community partners are stepping up and saying, we want to be a part of this as well.
Well, and like we've just said about five times, is mm-hmm. affecting everyone. It's also affecting the homelessness issue in our community, and that leads to our next
yeah.
Part of what happened last night at the meeting. Jenna Golo reported on what the United Way has been doing as mm-hmm. far as filling a gap in the emergency shelter when Ruth Meyers shut down their facility on Rosser
right.
for their men's shelter.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. I mean, it's just hitting everyone, and this is an immediate need in our community.
Mm-hmm. And Jenna had shared some numbers, 560-plus shelter nights, over 260 individuals have received assistance just since United Way has stepped up. So clearly another community crisis situation where we've got to try and figure out a good solution here.
And rather than just a report, I mean, I think there was a message last night, and it was pretty direct, and that was Jenna saying to the city, to the leadership, that we need you to be a part of this financially.
Yep.
And the end result is the budget committee now will go back and look for ways to contribute to
right.
this.
That was the direction from the commission near the end of the meeting last night, was to convene the budget committee, which I'm a part of that, our finance director, Commissioner Steve Marquardt, and then, of course, our city administrator, Keith Hunke. So the four of us will get together very quickly here and start to look for any potential funding sources. It may not be the end-all, be-all, the only answer, but if it's a part of the puzzle, if it's a part of the solution, then we've got a role.
I think the other part of the message last night, coming from the commissioners and Jenna, was they're looking for donations.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pretty successful in raising over $100,000
mm-hmm.
already, which is commendable.
Very much so. But the budget, the big number that Jenna shared for 6 months worth of emergency sheltering was somewhere around $260,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that $100,000 that's been raised so far is a very good start, but we're not even halfway there.
Long way to go. And testament to Jenna and her work and everybody else is that's working on this, law enforcement really has not seen much of a change in, even since the shelter closed, in our response to the number of homelessness. We thought we were going to just, you know, be running into all over, and then where are we going to take people to make sure that they have safety and shelter? But a testament to her is we have not seen an increase in numbers of mm-hmm. response to homelessness. So Jen and her group have been out there and ensuring patchwork is being conducted so we can take care of the people that need it right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So she's doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. And as she said before, they're not an organization that provides services.
Yeah, this is
right.
their primary
pretty
role.
Unusual.
Yeah,
right.
They've really adapted to the situation, and,
mm-hmm.
and kudos to them for stepping up and recognizing the opportunity.
And as you mentioned, with the Gold Star community, there's a lot of groups working on mm-hmm. this. So I know United Way has a team of agencies
definitely.
That they work with, and a many of them are coming forward, but they're still looking for a building. They're looking
right,
for that potential
right.
for a location, and they need money, and they need money for the services and case management, because
mm-hmm.
without case management, this cycle just continues.
Yep, definitely. Yep,
that's a key. You know, we don't want to just warehouse people. That's
right.
not
mm-hmm.
what this is about. These are, again, as I referred earlier, these are people that need help. Help through addiction, help through behavioral health issues as well. And that's the key, is we need to have services that are going to wrap around that person so they can have those resources they need to become healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So if we can say anything to the people who are listening on our KDAC radio or on our government access channel, dig deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of the year. This is the time you can still make a good donation, and if you're able, $20, yeah. $5, whatever you can do, anything. It's going to build. And again, we're all paying for this already. Mm-hmm. This is going to come out in various ways if we don't take care of this problem. It's going to cost more for law enforcement if we don't take care of this. We're going to have possibly a tragedy in our community where we have people who could potentially die out in the cold, and we don't want that. So this is the time and step up and make a donation, and it'll be well used. Mm-hmm. So if people are interested and able to make a donation, they would contact the United Way, and they can get in touch with them, and they'll let them know how they can do that.
They've got a great staff over there that can help direct volunteer hours, financial donations. I'm sure they'd be happy to take just about anything that's going to help
the
situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And put to good use, because I think they've also said that those donations will go 100% towards this effort. So I think that's really important. So, well, those are very important topics, but we'll move on a little bit. You had an item on the agenda last night. I thought that was, it was an interesting discussion. I've never really watched this before, and you brought forward to the commission bid proposals for handguns for the officers.
Right. Every once in a while, you know, all equipment wears out and, you know, it needs to be looked at being replaced. And in this particular case, we had some issues with some firearms that we're carrying now. And so we did some research. We did some testing of a new firearm, worked with the city's budget committee to demonstrate what our need was and what the issues were. And they ended up putting some funds into the budget for 2018 for us to transition into a firearm that will be a good fit for the department.
Well, not surprising. Obviously, you need good equipment, the best equipment that you can have for the safety of the officers.
It's got to be reliable.
Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And just the amount of time it takes to go through the research and put a bid proposal together. It's one of many things that you deal with on a daily basis or a regular basis at the police department.
And we don't just pick and choose, well, we like this model, you know, or anything like that. We did 5 to 7 months of extensive testing of multiple firearms with our staff, with our officers. And then once we got that narrowed down to 2 different firearms, then we staff again fired, but we also brought in, made sure our certified firearms instructors really put these firearms through the ringer and did documented surveys to see what they were thinking about each individual firearm. And it resulted with the recommendation that we made last night.
Yeah, a lot of work.
Absolutely.
Again, I can't imagine what you deal with on a daily basis at the police department. But one thing that just happened at the department is the loss of one of your canine officers.
Right.
And so sorry for that. And
yeah,
I know they did talk about it last night, and it was in the paper today. And Luna has passed, and that was unexpected.
It was unexpected. Luna just started to, she was a 7-year-old Malinois, and she was just starting to show in the beginning of December, the first week, that just kind of some behaviors that made it look like she was not feeling so well. And Lieutenant Chad Fetzer, who's Luna's handler, took her into the vet and said, well, we need to do some checking. They ended up doing a surgery and found a tumor in the stomach area, and they suspected it was cancerous, so they biopsied it. And there were some other issues going on as well. And unfortunately, it was that night into the next morning that Luna did pass away at the vets.
So loss of a team member is always hard.
It's a loss of a partner, right. This is not a pet. This isn't a tool for the department. And a dog that Lieutenant Fetzer and these handlers have every day in and out. They're either with them at their home, or when they're working, they're their partner at work. So it's a devastating loss for us.
Yeah, it really is. Well, this time of the year, I know that the police department is also dealing with some issues around the holiday season.
Absolutely.
You have some special concerns at this time of the year. And Mark Buscina, your public information officer, sends us videos that we put on our channel quite frequently, and those are very welcome, so we can help extend that message out there. But a lot of it has to do with packages that are being delivered.
Right. There's, you know, as we are in 21st century, there's a lot of online ordering, and online ordering means UPS, Express, Federal Express, the mail, U.S. Mail, they're going to be dropping these packages off when we're working, and they're dropping them off at your homes, on your front porches. They are susceptible to being stolen, obviously. So we just really recommend that have some type of a plan in place to have them delivered when you can try to be home, or work with your neighbors. Communicate with your neighbors that if any of your neighbors are home and they see a package delivered, You know, I like our neighbors to come over and grab the package, take it into their house, and then I'll get it later. That way it's not just sitting out there for anybody to be taken.
It's very tempting.
Crime of opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be vigilant. Work with your neighbors, definitely.
Yeah. That, and then, of course, just leaving shopping, and then running your bags out to your car and going back in and shopping some more. Again, it's a crime of opportunity. If you have would-be thieves that are walking through the parking lots, and just
be aware.
Peering in cars as they walk by, it takes a second to bust a window and grab the packages or purses or laptops or cell phones. So remove all the valuables out of the car. Mm-hmm. At best, if you're going to leave it there, put them into the trunk and lock it up. But even that's not 100% safe.
Okay. Well, that's our seasonal message. But you've had a recent change with shift work at the police department. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're have just instituted what we're calling a power shift, and it's 16 additional officers that'll be separated out into two shifts. So any day given day, you're going to have up to 8 additional officers that will be working from 3 in the afternoon until 3 in the morning. Because in analyzing our data and our crime trends, that's when the crimes are most occurring, between 3 in the afternoon and 3 in the morning. The other thing is, after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's when the most of our citizens are calling in to the police to make reports, whether it's items being stolen or they need a police assistance. So that's the busiest time for our officers to be running from call to call to call. So we're flooding the community with more officers out on the street during those times. And then as
not
things
to mention
slow down,
rush hour.
Not to mention rush hour, yes. And then as things start to slow down, you know, 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the evening, now this power shift switches their focus and they try to get into the neighborhoods where we are seeing more crimes that are occurring and start to flood that area to try to reduce crime and stop it from happening. And then they're also supposed to be getting out into as much as possible. Bismarck has grown, as you said, but getting into the neighborhoods that typically don't see the police as often, you know. So we're trying to spread that out, be much more visible out there, but be smart about trying to prevent crime and catch the criminals doing crime. So it looks like a very good program. We'll have to, you know, go for a while and then test that out, see what our outcomes are. But it's looking really positive right now.
When did you start this new shift?
Started about 2 months ago, probably just about 2 months ago. And then the other thing is the officers have a lot of freedom to kind of do what they want, depending on what's going on in the community or in their areas. But they're getting out on foot and they're walking up on people at 2, 3 in the morning that are walking around buildings or things like that. And all they're doing is just having a conversation. But those individuals are pretty surprised when they all of a sudden see a police officer on foot instead of that squad car a long ways away coming up. And we're trying to improve our relationships with individuals in the community by having those contacts with people. And we've gotten feedback from residents in those areas. You know, thank you for being here. Thank you for, you know, it's nice to see that, that you're around. So.
Yeah,
I think this is a great response from our police department to recognize some of the changes that are happening in our community. And not to go back to the budget committee again, but when this discussion came up earlier, the chief and his support staff, the deputy chiefs had a good source of information justifying the need for this additional shift. And I think we're going to see great dividends coming from this as a result of that, the research and just the awareness of what's happening around us. So it's very responsive. I think it's a great move.
And the city was very receptive of that, too, because this needed 8 additional police officer positions.
That's a big investment.
8 new FTEs.
Right.
And that's their salary. That's their benefits. That's now we need cars. Now we need equipment.
Right.
It's very expensive.
Yes.
But we do a citizen survey every 2 to 3 years as well. And that survey has always been showing that the community wants more police officers in, out and about, you know, more visible. So we've listened and we've done it. The city backed us up on that. And with this year, we put out 8 additional officers, which is going to encompass now 16 into that power shift.
Well, you do your survey. The police department does a survey. And I think the city has, in the past, I'm thinking of the mayor's livability summit.
Absolutely.
Public safety is always like,
definitely,
this is what we want. And we're willing to invest in that. Yep. And that's great. And again, keeping the equipment up to date and making sure everything is safe for the officers as well. So you talk about visibility and communication, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about your website too.
Yes, absolutely.
And your Facebook page. You have social media
and Twitter.
And Twitter.
And we just opened up Instagram.
Good for you.
As well.
Look at you getting all modern.
21st century PD.
I don't know how to log on to Instagram, but we have it.
Not your job. But we brought, you can get on the police department's website by going to the city of Bismarck's website at
bismarcknd.gov.
Thank you.
And /police will get you right to their department.
Go right on there. And we have it up on the screen right now. It's very, very nice. Has that institutional information that you want to know, all the different areas of the police department.
How to become a police officer, yes, if you're interested, mm-hmm, in applying. All that information is out there as well. Mm-hmm. Lots of resources and documents on crime prevention, community services. Our crime prevention will come out and do security surveys, different presentations to your business or organization. Oh. I believe on there is a list of all the different things that we would cover, from, you know, office violence, workplace violence, active shooter situations, how to protect yourself from, you know, being burglarized, things like that. So a lot, mm-hmm, of information.
There is
on the
a lot
website.
Of information on here too. And the thing I noticed on your front page that we want to talk about too is how to get in touch with you. Facebook is a good mechanism for that immediate, mm-hmm, communication also, but obviously 911 is your number to call in an emergency.
In an emergency, absolutely.
But a non-emergency.
Yeah,
talk
they just
the
call
it
the regular police department number, 223-1212. Mm-hmm. I've learned there's a little bit of confusion maybe, you know, after hours you get the recording, and I get it and I understand nobody wants to sit and listen to a recording. Mm-hmm. So the main thing I want to touch on that is after hours, if you're calling non-emergency, 223-1212, and you need to speak to an officer or have an officer respond to your location to file a report, just hit option number one. That's, mm-hmm, what that is for.
Okay.
We'll put you through to Central Dispatch.
Yeah, Central Dispatch then picks that up, the dispatchers, mm-hmm, call takers.
Understood.
And then they'll talk with the individual calling to assess what their need is and then send the appropriate resources.
And then there's, mm-hmm, always been Crime Stoppers. It's been around for a long time. That's an anonymous tip line.
Right.
If people have information on various activities that are going on, and that's 224-TIPS or 841. 8477. So Crime Stoppers is around.
Yes, and again, you can remain anonymous by providing information on a crime in that regard, and you also may be eligible for a reward, cash, mm-hmm, reward as well.
Let's jump over to the Facebook page real quick, and you can get there on Facebook.com by just going to the Bismarck Police Department. So lots of good information in here, as well as your Twitter and Instagram now. This is where you're going to get more immediate type of communications.
Absolutely. This Facebook and Twitter and probably Instagram is where we're really going to be putting the information out. If there is a serious situation going on where we've blocked off an area of town, say there's an armed barricaded individual, going to our Facebook, following us on Facebook and Twitter, that is where you're going to get the most updated information real time.
What we have on this screen right now is just someone you're looking for. You have a photo of somebody you want some information
on. Yeah, I
on.
Believe Mandan PD. It was regarding a shooting that they just had this past week, and this is just an individual that they believe may have some information that they would be very interested in just talking, yeah, to her. So we will share other agencies'
Absolutely.
Information they're looking, mm-hmm, and it's really all about sharing the information with the community to keep the community as informed as possible and as safe, mm-hmm, as possible.
Mm-hmm. Current and up to date.
Yeah.
Much like this program.
Yes.
Yes.
Speaking of which, we just got the signal and we're out of time, so that went pretty fast. Thank you for coming. I know you're so busy, and thanks for all you do in your department.
Thank you.
It's so important.
I accept that on behalf of all the great men and women that are out there every day, mm-hmm, risking their lives and responding to these calls to serve our community and keep it safe. And thank you for the opportunity to come in and speak with you.
Well, we'll get you back.
All right.
Yes,
That's
we
what
will.
Jason said. So anyway, thanks so much for coming today. And Jason, as always,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to this Bismarck edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.